This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. The sermon for this second midweek service in Advent is according to Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Now, as you see, we have the second candle is lit, and in different ways, all three of the texts speak about something very important to us all, namely faith. Faith that we can wait in as we celebrate Advent. It is a faith that is both concrete and massive. The faith is concrete because it insists that God's utter newness is about to break upon us in ways that are specific and identifiable according to His promised word. The faith, on the other hand, is massive because it is expressed in cosmic terms. Cosmic terms about the turn of the world. And let us be clear about the faith that has been given to us. What is going on with us is going on in the entire world because God is in charge of all of it. The text from Isaiah meets the reader in the midst of exile. Remember that the Jews have been deported from Babylon. They were forced to live under this alien regime and forced to accept their notions of reality. But it isn't the Babylonian pressure that makes them exiled, is it? They are exiled because they refuse to assimilate. They refuse to assimilate and refuse to accept Babylon as home. Refuse to call Babylon their final and ultimate authority. Exile as a religious condition is not a result of oppression. Exile here became a product of faith. A deep faith which refuses to settle. A faith which plants a yearning for homecoming. So the situation, the exile, is met by God's word precisely at the point of this yearning for homecoming. Hearing this text at Advent cries out for our yearning as well. It asks us to reflect on what we call home and our utter estrangement to the world, to our utter refusal of whatever false regimes claim authority in our lives. Isaiah is given by God to write passionately about exiles and homecomings. You know, it's kind of funny and it's kind of ironic, because of the fact that I have been actually dealing with a home that I'm trying to acquire. But I will tell you the truth. As much grief as myself, my kids, and my wife has gone through, if this didn't work out, you understand we wouldn't be destroyed. We wouldn't be crushed. Would we be irritated? Yes! Beyond measure. But we would not be crushed, because we know that while we are seeking a home here, it is so that I might do what God has called me to do here. Like simply as Paul, wherever he served this congregation, there he was to do God's work. I didn't buy a home here because I really wanted a different home. God called me to a new place. So with that comes looking for a house. And I see in the same thing here, if somebody said to me, well, Pastor Hoffman, is Roseburg your final destination? I said, well, I hope not. I hope it's with Christ for all eternity. And it's okay to like Roseburg. It's okay to like Sutherland. That's not a sin. But it is not our final home. So while we're here, we try to keep the grounds clean. We plant plants. We plant flowers. We try to make it look good. But we would not lose our mind if all of that went away. As a matter of fact, we're kind of hoping it will. Because exile, anytime our departure, it becomes a matter of faith. Deep faith, such faith that refuses to settle. And according to the text, the voice from heaven has authorized these words to be spoken, to be preached among God's people. The rest of us, as we stand before this book of Isaiah, get to watch this commissioning service to see clearly and without any ambiguity the authorizing of God's word to the faithful to hear these words that are announced to all the displaced sinners who faithfully yearn for home. The messenger preached the authorized message from God. And what does it reveal? It reveals their journey home. I'll read it to you. A voice cries in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Think about that. A highway is to be built halfway across the Near East, clear to Jerusalem. A highway to dramatize the extravagant coming of the King of Israel, the Holy God whose work brings exiles home. Isn't that great? For them, they don't say, "Oh man, we're leaving." For them, they're saying, "We are going." We're not leaving, we are going. That's to say, I'm not out of here, but I'm going there. That's the main focus. And then he says this, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." So he's not saying those flowers are bad and those flowers are wrong and that you shouldn't, you know, cut and take care of your grass. But he's saying, remember to stay away from idolatry. Stay away from these things that you know are going to pass away, including people who are selling you a house. No, they're good. Those guys are all good. The other ones, they're going to pass away. Heck, I'm going to pass away. But this is a really good reminder to say that all these things that are wonderful and beautiful, like grass and flowers, as wonderful as they are, and even as they are adorned greater than Solomon, they're going to pass away. But what we also hear is the word of our God will stand forever. Nothing stands up to God's word and outlasts it. We're talking, this is the Energizer Bunny of all of things. Everything else is going to run out, but accept God's word. The king is said to have power. Power of making great decrees. He utters this homecoming word, which is totally reliable. Against it, the foreign empire is now helpless, even as Pharaoh was helpless in the Exodus. Remember that? Boy, he did his best. He really said, "You know what? I think I really am in control." And Moses is like, "You're adorable. But you have, like, I'm giving you, like, one more day until you're going to see what real power looks like." Because you remember, even as Pontius Pilate said to Jesus, remember what he said to him? "Do you not know that I have the power over life and death?" And Jesus, you got to imagine my irony level is going, like, it's pinned. "Really? You're the Lord over life and death? Me too. This is a really weird coincidence that we should run into each other. Because we're going to test your claim, and I'll let you test my claim." In other words, find that grave and wait. I'll show you who has authority over life and death. But Jesus doesn't say that because he's not a smart aleck. He isn't. Well, maybe sometimes, but mostly not. He says to him, "I am not denying this. You have been given civil authority over who lives and who dies. But it was given to you by my Father. You're supposed to treat it a certain way. And he wasn't. What a reminder to say, oh, you're telling me? I actually know where you got this authority. You think you know, but I know. That is humbling. The power of the old regime is like grass. It will wither away, but I will tell you, for a time it is lush. It looks like it's there forever. Grass, if you don't think it smells good, I'm really concerned about you. Especially when you cut grass, it's just, it's a good smell. Everything is right in the world. But he reminds us, you know how beautiful that grass is? It's going away. It will wither. The old world and the old Adam yield to the decree of God's homecoming. And now the withering of the beautiful flowers, the withering of the grass, no longer sounds like a threat, does it? It doesn't sound like a bad thing anymore. Now it's starting to sound like faith and hope and a promise to saying, I hope it does. My faith is that it is all going to go away, along with cancer, death, sorrow, mental illness, substance abuse and addiction, love handles. Boy, that's the one I'm really looking forward to. Bad eyesight. You name it. So when the grass and the flowers of this world are gone, so is all of the unraveling of paradise brought upon us by the serpent and our first parents. So where the enemy finds this to be scary and sad, Christians are over here going, yes, that is where all my eggs are. All my eggs are in that basket. We don't get another basket. Then comes this amazing word of enthronement. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Who is the kind of person that rejoices in seeing our God? Oh, I got a hand. That's the first for me. Who's looking forward to it?
All of us.
100%. Anybody who is redeemed, anybody who is washed, anybody who is forgiven, that is a good sight. Now, the only people who are not too stoked about this are the people who have been calling us all cuckoo birds our whole life. Going, and I used to be one of them, so I remember. Going, you guys are stupid. Then later I'm in church going, I guess I'm the stupid one. Interesting. I'm glad I found out then. Rather than when this king, the real king, is crowned and excluding all pretenders to power. When that's all gone, the exiles hear this message. And you should too. There are two words laying before them. They will believe the word of God or the word of the world. And that's always been the way it is. It's always been that way. They can't believe both. You can't be an agnostic. You can't say, well, I'm just waiting to see. I go, don't wait too long. Don't do it. I'm telling you. You can't have your foot in both. Cake and eat it too. Isn't that a phrase? See, I miss soup. I'm thinking about food now. Anyway, so they're saying to them, you know, there's only one way. And you say, I'm either going to go the way of the world or the way of the word of the Lord. Those are the two ways. And by the way, if you say, I'm going to go the way of some other false god, believe me, that's the world. So, which word frees and brings them home? The word of the Lord. Friends, as we await, believe it or not, we are in exile. Isn't that strange to think that we are in exile? We know it is the word of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we hear and that we have faith in. We trust that Christ has indeed prepared the way for us. We have been given a wonderful and beautiful faith which looks to the promises of God that says this, Jesus will return for me. He is my Lord and he prepares a place where I can truly call home. You see these words that we know that Jesus will come, but the answer is for whom? And you say for me. And we know that he is Lord, but what's important is we say he's my Lord. And that he prepares a place that's also where I can call home. Jesus will return for me. He is my Lord, and he prepares a place where I can truly call home. That is a statement of faith. But that is not a statement of blind, ignorant faith. It is a statement of promise made to us by God himself. And that gives us this reason that I will just burn into your ears. This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now confess this faith as he has given to us in our baptismal creed, the Apostles' Creed. We find it on the very back cover of the hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.